All right, back on the Young Turks. Potato Krat writes in, first of all, already funny, agreed. Our favorite TYT staff member is the Phantom Laugher, much like the Phantom Laugher from Boise. I don't know who that is, but I do know who this Phantom Laugher is. Okay, so you got some love out there, Edwin. Oh, I mean, Phantom.
Phantom's a cool nickname. I like that. There's a car called the Phantom, right?
Yeah.
Is it a Bentley?
I drive it.
You drive it? No, you don't.
It's a Kia Phantom.
No one who works here will ever be able to drive a Phantom.
Okay. We used to, Michael Tracy used to kid around and a couple other guys too about the Phantom Editor, because we were going to hire a managing editor as part of the tytnetwork.com/go. And then it turned out it wasn't a Phantom. We hired Jonathan Larson. And he's now the managing editor. So we have a Phantom editor and a Phantom Laugher. Speaking of tytnetwork.com/go, $250 from Stefan in Sweden. That's awesome. You're on camera.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You're reading stuff. It's okay.
It's okay. $275 from Tim in Indiana and $2,000 from Susan in Texas. So that's amazing. Thank you, guys. Can I see where we are with the campaign here? 1,728,005 bucks. You guys are amazing. Can I see 1.750 today? We got to see it today. We're going to do a whole 2.5 hours extra, okay? So tell everybody, we're going to talk about all the stories that we broke. There's extra stories we didn't get to. We're going to do those in the final hour too. Trump's tax cuts have been revealed. I've got some Wolfpack stories for you guys. We're going to fight the establishment. So let's do it. A bunch of cameras and chairs still available for $5,000. Put your name on there for years and years and years. Okay, before we go on to the stories, I do have one announcement for you guys. We have an announcement. I don't do the bugle enough. The Young Turks has won the Webby. For a news and politics series, we're the People's Voice Award. So I'd like to thank the Academy for nominating us. And this is either our fourth or fifth win in this category in a row, year after year after year. I do have to admit that we don't often get picked by the Academy for the...
Do we ever get picked by the Academy?
I don't believe we've ever gotten picked.
It's weird. It's weird that the voters seem to really like us. But the Academy doesn't. But it's okay. It's okay.
Well, they do nominate us, bless their hearts. But if the same show wins 4 or 5 years in a row, the popular vote, perhaps they're popular.
Yeah, whatever.
Something to think about it. Anyway, look, guys, in all seriousness, though, you guys are way too strong. And that's the only love we've ever gotten, and the only love we ever need is from you guys.
Exactly.
So almost every one of our awards is the People's Voice, the People's Choice, etc. I'll take that every day.
We will try to avoid having Kanye West-like rants regarding award ceremonies.
I think we're going to send somebody to the Webbies, and the guy we send might actually step on stage. So God knows, but yes, are we the People's Choice? You betcha. I love it. Thank you guys once again. One day again, we'll put all the trophies out here, Streamies, Shorties, Webbies, all because of you guys. Love being people powered. You guys are the best.
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
So we have a bunch of stories for you guys, but I want to start the hour with two quick updates. We're not going to do full stories on it, but I want to make sure it's kind of on your radar. First of all, a federal judge in San Francisco has agreed with two municipalities in California, indicating that Trump's attempt to block federal money towards sanctuary cities is unconstitutional. So this federal judge essentially said that the reason why it's unconstitutional is because you can't have a president unilaterally making that decision. This is something that Congress would have to vote on. And so this is a great example of the balance of power, the checks and balances that are kind of in our Constitution, in our form of government. So that's good news. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't doubt that Republicans in Congress will fight tooth and nail to carry out what Trump wants to do. But these sanctuary cities in California, and California as a state, really wants to do what it can to avoid working with federal officials in order to deport undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, God bless. It's a great decision. So this is how the process works. I know Trump is surprised by it.
What? But I've always been able to do whatever I wanted to do without any, you know, pushback. What's going on?
Yeah, he's like, when I ran my family business, I was the boss and I could do whatever I want. Yeah. Now there are other people involved in this democracy. So annoying.
Look, I got to be honest. I was concerned that our system of checks and balances wouldn't really play out during his administration, just because he does have a lot more power with Congress, you know, mostly being on his side, having weak Democrats who refuse to fight back. That also frustrates me. But federal judges, man, yeah, they're the homies.
They literally checked his ass.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
All right, and another quick story. Ivanka Trump was speaking at a conference in Germany and was met with boos and hisses after she said something supportive about her father and how he is doing what he can to make women's lives better in the United States. So the audience interrupted Trump with hissing and boos during a discussion on paid leave when she began describing her father as an advocate for women. Here's what she said that led to the boos. That is something I'm very proud of my father's advocacy. Long before he came into the presidency, he championed this in the primaries. He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabling them to thrive. So look, John Oliver did an excellent segment on Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump and this whole notion that they're gonna be like the liberal saviors within the Trump administration. And it's based on nothing. We have no reason to believe that they're liberals, that they're actually pulling Trump in the right direction. We know that Trump has a great deal of respect and love for them, but there's no reason to believe that they actually will push for progressive values such as paid maternity leave and things like that. I mean, she is a wolf in sheep's clothing, if you ask me, and this quote is an example of that. The fact that she refuses to acknowledge the fact that her father doesn't really care about women, doesn't really care about championing, I can't even say that word. She doesn't really care about doing things to help families thrive in the United States.
Yes, well, to be fair, she's a wolf in Ivanka Trump clothing.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's discounted.
It is, yeah. Okay. And also to be fair, look, she said in the primaries, her father was a champion of women. You remember in the primaries, this tape came out.
Right. I moved on her like a bitch.
Well, so that seems like a champion.
Sounds like someone who really cares about women.
Tic Tacs just in case they start kissing her.
Right, a woman that didn't ask to get kissed. And then, of course, famously,
grab him by the pussy.
Championing women.
But here's the thing, she didn't have to say anything about it, right? That would have been a better move. I'm not saying that she needs to go to that conference, sit up on that stage and be like, yo, my dad's a dick, right? Like, no, I'm not asking you to do that either. I totally understand he's your father, right? And you're gonna support him. But just don't bring up how he treats women, because he doesn't treat women well. And he's been very obvious and transparent about that.
Yeah, look, if you wanna push him privately in the right direction, if you're in fact you're doing that, great. And then when you have the results, then you can come out and say, hey, look, we did maternity care and maybe even paternity care better than Democrats did. Mm-hmm. If you actually got that result, we would then applaud you instead of boo you and go, hey, look at that. It turns out she was a moderate and she did get things done.
Right.
Right. But that's not what's happened. He's gone in a disastrous direction. So my best piece of advice would be a tall glass of shut up juice.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Glenn Beck recently opened up about what he personally experienced at Fox News and his thoughts on the sexual harassment allegations that have destroyed the careers of Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. Now, he comes at it from an interesting perspective. He immediately makes it an ideological war when in reality, no one even brought up, hey, conservative guys are worse than liberal guys when it comes to sexual harassment. But he made it about that. And so I want to give you a few of his quotes. He says, I don't know if this has ever happened at CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times. Wouldn't it be interesting to see? Because this is not a conservative disease. It's not a Fox disease. It's a male disease.
Okay, well, now that he's opened the door to that conversation, let's walk on in. So I would largely disagree with that statement. And I'll explain exactly why. Now, is it have males of all different political ideologies done sexual harassment? I'm sure they have. Of course, there's a guy named Bill Clinton. Now, look, that was consensual, but there was a power dynamic there that was not right, et cetera, right? Let alone probably 100,000s of other examples, right? So of course we understand that it's not just conservatives who do it, right? We're way more open-minded, I think, than those guys are when they blame liberal values on so many different insane things and problems in the country. But was it a Fox disease? Well, it actually was, because the leader of Fox News was Roger Ailes. And since he had been doing sexual harassment apparently for decades, according to the allegations, allegations that were proven well enough so that he was fired, he protected other people who were doing sexual harassment at Fox News. Yep. And they paid out settlements. So it became systemic because of the leader of that organization. So it actually was more specifically a Fox disease in this case. In terms of whether conservatives do it more, well, they do foster an environment where they say it's not as big a deal. Now, progressives think it's a giant deal, that it's something that you should look out for and something we should be cognizant of, etc. But how many times have we heard on Fox News, including from female hosts on Fox News, oh, they're overplaying it, it's a war on men,
yeah,
etc. So yeah, conservatives do have, oh, boys will be boys kind of attitude, which is a throwback, because that's why they're conservatives. And in the old days, there was much more rampant sexual harassment.
So I have some evidence to kind of back up your claim, because look, we've been in this game for a long time. I've been here for 10 years. We've been talking about people like Glenn Beck for a very, very long time. And so I remember segments where he has minimized allegations of sexual assault or rape, where he has signed off on ridiculous skits that make fun of women who have been raped on college campuses. And I have an example for that that I'm going to show you in just a minute. So he goes on and on and on for years about how women lie, sexual harassment and sexual assault's not really a thing. They're just looking to cash out. It's a witch hunt. When now all of a sudden, it's a male disease. It's not a conservative disease or a liberal disease, which, by the way, I don't even know if I want to say it's a male disease. Some guys don't understand what sexual harassment is, or they do, and since they have enough power, they think they can get away with it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what happened at Fox News. Now, in terms of conservatives, though, this is the kind of reaction they have to rape allegations, okay? Now, this is On the Blaze, a segment that Glenn Beck signed off on. It was in response to a study done by the National Intimate Partner and Sexual Violence Survey. That was the name of the survey. And it basically found that a lot of women are either victims of sexual assault, rape, or sexual coercion, which is not the same as rape, right? But look at the way they handled that study in this skit. They decided to make fun of women, and I'll let you watch. Take a look.
You should have sex with me. I'm going to be on the cover of the Abercrombie & Fitch catalog this month.
Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop. That's rape. Pressuring someone to have sex with you by telling them lies is the same as rape.
You should have sex with me. I will always love you, and I will never look at another, ever.
Okay.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on. That's rape. Making promises about the future you know are untrue to get sex is the same as rape.
You should have sex with me, or I will break up with you.
Okay.
Whoa! Stop, stop, stop! That's rape. Threatening to end your relationship to get sex is the same as rape.
You should have sex with me, or I'll tell everyone you had sex with me.
Okay.
Stop, 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 stop. That's rape. Threatening to spread rumors to get sex is the same as rape.
Will you have sex with me? Will you have sex with me? Will you have sex with me? How about now? Will you have sex with me? Come on, how about now? Will you have sex with me?
Okay.
Guess what? That's rape. Repeatedly asking for sex to get sex is the same as rape. That's persistence rape.
So they completely misconstrued what the survey said. The survey and the people behind this research never said that those things are rape. Never once said those things were rape. They did refer to some of those things as sexual coercion. So if you go to someone and say to them, I'm gonna release naked pictures of you unless you have sex with me again, that's sexual coercion, right? You have to have sex with me again, or else I'm gonna let everyone know that you've been sleeping with me. That's sexual coercion.
Yeah.
But they don't get that. Or they do get that, but they just wanna say defamatory things about the research that was done and make it seem like women are nothing but a joke. So you're part of the male disease, Glenn Beck. You are a disease, okay? You making it a political thing is not gonna fly. It's more about you and the type of environment you harbor and support.
Okay, You're burying the lead there. That was the worst skit I've ever seen.
I love how funny they think they are. That wasn't funny at all.
Okay, and then I'll jump in with a big rape sign. Oh, God, this is so good. And then you'll dress up like a girl because you kind of want to, even though we talk against people like that all the time. Anyway, and their version of a girl, a woman, is what? What do you mean? Why would you say we're sexist? Well, we think women do this. Okay. And as Anna pointed out, yes, they totally, completely lied about what the study said. It never said any of those things were rape. Now, whether you consider them sexual coercion is a debate we've had on the Young Turks, okay? Mm-hmm. But you at least have to be honest about what the study actually says. So that's a way, and why do they do that? Why do they do that lie, even though they know it says right there in the study that is not rape, okay?
Yeah.
They do it because they want to minimize rape.
That's exactly right. That's the point. That is the point, right? So it's just laughable that he's focusing on different political ideologies and which group is more likely to sexually harass or sexually assault women, when in reality, he needs to reflect on himself and the type of segments he signs off on and the way he minimizes serious issues in the country like rape on college campuses. So, yeah, just minimizing it, making it seem like, you know, the accusers are just ridiculous children. They're dumb, they're clownish, and everything that they're saying is probably a lie. That's the kind of environment you create. You are part of the problem. You are a male disease.
Okay, and by the way, when you say that, of course, like you said in the beginning, we don't agree with Glenn Beck. We don't think it's all males who are diseased, right? So that's a way for him to say, like, if I think it's not so bad, then I assume everybody else thinks that sexual harassment is not so bad.
Yeah.
So I'll just say it's a male disease. No, dude, that's your problem. Don't put it on all the rest of us. We don't go around sexually harassing people, and we don't think it's cool, and we don't do funny skits about it.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. I think you guys know what I mean. I don't think all men are like that. Not even close. I think it's ridiculous to call it a male disease. I'm just saying, if ever there was, he's a perfect example of it.
Okay, I want to do the second part of the story. Let's just do his defense of O'Reilly, et cetera. So explain that to us.
All right, so Glenn Beck took it upon himself to defend Bill O'Reilly, who has been completely outed at Fox News, no longer works there because lots of women came forward and alleged sexual harassment allegations against him. Now, here's what Glenn Beck said in defense of O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly has been maligned. He had absolutely the means and the motives, because quite honestly, we worked with some very beautiful women and we went on tour with Bill O'Reilly. Everyone said the same thing. That guy is so buttoned up. Never did we ever hear him make a crude remark, an easy joke about something. Never. He also said that there is a witch hunt against Hannity. This is a witch hunt. Now they're going after Hannity.
Okay, so let's clarify a bunch of things. Who's they? The person that made any charges against Sean Hannity was a very conservative, totally right-wing nut job, by the way, Debbie Schlussel. So, and yesterday on the program, I largely defended Sean Hannity on about those charges.
It's a witch hunt.
Witch hunt. We got a funny way of doing a witch hunt where we defend you guys. Okay, and Debbie Schlussel ain't nobody's liberal. So, if she's in cahoots with George Soros, well, that would be a surprise to, I think, all parties involved. Second of all, this excuse of, well, there's two parts of the excuse is when it comes to Bill O'Reilly. One is, well, I mean, we're around hot women all the time. I mean, who could blame Bill O'Reilly? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had an opportunity, they were hot. What does that mean? So if you're around attractive women, so I guess Beck thinks like, I mean, you'd want to sexually harass them, obviously. I mean, because you have power, and who wouldn't want to use their power against hot women that they're working with? Okay. All right, let's get past that for a second. Look, it's okay for you to think they're hot. It's God bless, right? It's not okay then to think, well, I mean, he could have sexually harassed them if he would have the good opportunity. No, having power over them is not a good opportunity when you work with hot women. Okay, anyway, I think the second part of that is more important. I never saw him sexually harass people.
Oh, then none of those allegations are true. It didn't happen. Since you didn't see it with your own eyes, did not happen.
When I saw him, he was polite. Yeah, Glenn, that's because he wasn't trying to fuck you.
I mean, can you blame males or anyone? But one thing that I did want to bring up was I didn't realize that Glenn Beck had some sort of beef with Ducey.
Oh, yeah. So this is fun. I didn't know that either. Now, look, I know that Beck had plenty of beefs within Fox News. Remember, he was removed from Fox News. That's why, as another part of the story, Roger Ailes, of course, he throws on the bus a little bit and he says, him I could have seen doing stuff because Roger Ailes, in essence, fired him. And they had friends of Roger, as Steve Ducey is, and so he didn't like that team. But O'Reilly, he apparently liked. And remember, O'Reilly's now available, so probably Beck is thinking, oh, what if he comes to the Blaze?
Oh, interesting.
So that's why he does this segment where he's like, O'Reilly's a good guy, good guy. He never sexually harassed me, never grabbed my boobs, never. Never once called me hot chocolate.
Jesus. Unbelievable. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, in regard to Ducey, he said something along the lines of like, what's this guy doing over here? And then he realized he was a friend of Ailes, you know, or friend of Rogers.
Yeah, so apparently Gretchen Carlson used to complain about Ducey all the time. They apparently hated each other. Mm-hmm. And Beck, he always excuses her hilarious. He's like, well, Gretchen used to tell me, which then sounds really bad, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, but in vague ways, so I didn't know what to do about it.
He's such a clown.
But yeah. Steve Ducey's a jerk, and I could see why he would do that, and he's a friend of Roger, and remember, Roger fired me, I mean, as a pervert. Now, and Bill O'Reilly, who did the same exact thing, is a good guy, though. I want him to work at the Blaze. All right, we move forward.
All right. A judge in Texas has cleared the way for Tommy Lauren to find out who leaked some unsavory details about her when she worked at the Blaze. Now, this is all part of a larger lawsuit. Tommy Lauren, of course, is suing the Blaze and Glenn Beck for wrongful termination. Glenn Beck is countersuing, indicating that she was very difficult to work with. And apparently someone, we don't know if it's someone who works at the Blaze, although it seems like it, leaked a story to the Daily Caller that indicated that Tommy Lauren was a really difficult person to work with. Let me give you the details. So the Daily Caller article published late last week claimed Lauren acted like a diva during her employment with the Blaze, insisting she treated staffers with contempt and disdain and even made them heat up her butt warming pad. Now, her lawyer is upset about this and says, hey, you know, there was a non-disparagement order by the judge, and if this individual works at the Blaze, they went against the judge's orders. And so as a result, the judge is saying, all right, Glenn Beck and the Blaze have to hand over emails between staffers and a reporter at the Daily Caller. The reporter at the Daily Caller, Peter Hansen, says, I'm not handing over anything. I will not disclose who my sources are.
So this story is really interesting because it has two different laws that are basically contradicting one another. And it happens from time to time. It's not that frequent. But so it's true. The judge did say, hey, look, we're under court proceedings here, and I don't want you guys disparaging one another. And I'm going to do an official order saying that non-disparagement in public. And then clearly somebody at the Blaze threw Tommy Lauren under a bus by leaking to the Daily Caller, thereby disparaging her. So that would violate the court's order. On the other hand, we have freedom of the press. And that's a constitutional principle that's very, very important. So if you go to a member of the press and go, no, give me your sources because I think that it might have violated my order in these court proceedings. Well, I think that's a bigger problem, and I would say that I would hope that a judge in that case would go, all right, but I can't violate freedom of the press, so I'm not going to try to enforce this. If he actually finds out who did it, you know that the guy could get 6 months in jail. No. If we, by the way, look, I know it's a little different because they're in the middle of a court proceeding and the judge actually made that order. But I mean, if you punish people based on leaks, 3/4 of Washington would be in jail.
Right. I think that it's incredibly important to uphold constitutional rights, and one of those constitutional rights is freedom of the press, right? And so I get it. You don't want people, you know, saying negative things about one another in the middle of court proceedings. I totally understand that. But I would argue that that is a low priority compared to allowing the press to do what it does. And by the way, I think that Tommy Lauren and her lawyer played this component of the lawsuit all wrong. If you don't want people talking about your butt warmer, don't make it a big deal in the middle of this case, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't even think it's that big of a deal. Was she a diva? Probably, maybe, but who cares, right? That's kind of to be expected. Not saying that anyone who's on air is like that, but she just I don't know, who cares? But I would want to bury this as much as possible as opposed to making a big deal out about it and then making sure that everybody's covering it on their new show. And, yeah, and butt pads, I totally get it, man. Sometimes dudes really crank up the AC and you got to warm your butt. So
I crank up the AC.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, the first butt warming story came out, I purposely didn't cover it on the show. Now it's relevant because Freedom of the Press is involved here, and it's become like a weirdly important national case now. But the reason I didn't cover it in the first place is because it's obvious that they're throwing her under a bus.
Yeah.
And and that's all, the best you had on her was that she wanted butt warmers. Who cares? That's really incredibly minor.
It is, yeah.
So look, and these leaks happen all the time. Toughen up. That's I mean, on both sides, right? The guys who are leaking it are petty. And that apparently don't really have very good dirt on her, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're being leaked against, stuff happens. I remember when I was leaving MSNBC, they started leaking my ratings from January. It was June. I'm like, what? But in January, there was all these huge news events. That's why CNN, that was one of the few months that CNN beat me in the ratings. By the time it was June, I was doubling CNN on most nights. I was beating CNN and HLN combined. So when I saw in the press that MSNBC management was leaking ratings from 5 months earlier, I'm like, oh, they're coming to get me. Okay, but I didn't sue. I didn't try to put them in prison, right? I just told my side of the story, and that's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even address it, right? I mean, especially if you are going to be an opinionated woman, regardless of what your ideology is, people are going to attack you, and they're going to do so viciously. If people accuse me of wanting heated butt warmers, or heated butt pads, whatever the hell it is that she's using, and be like, okay, that's like probably the mildest accusation I've ever dealt with.
No, luckily, there aren't divas. We don't get paid well enough here to be divas. Okay, yeah. But if you go to television, and I don't know what they're paying at The Blaze, because The Blaze is named after the amount of money that they're burning. Okay, so I mean, they just created this giant bonfire with Glenn Beck and other investors' money. That thing loses so much money, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So who knows, maybe they overpay over there. But in television where they do overpay, oh, so many people are divas. All the hosts are like, please, I do decline. So I'm sure that the people on cable news are like, oh, she only had butt warmers.
Probably.
Anyways, all right, we do have a fun poll for you guys. Who's more at fault for the conflict at The Blaze? This is overall, not just for the butt warmer scandal.
Yeah.
But Tommy Lahren for trying to get the spotlight, you know, or Glenn Beck for getting annoyed that she has the spotlight and firing her for having one reasonable position, the pro-choice position. So I don't know which way to go here because she's such a hypocrite. But then on the other hand, he's such a hypocrite. They both want the spotlight. They're both unbearable.
No, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote right now.
Okay, by the way, if you want to vote, tytnetwork.com/blaze. Okay, I'm super curious which way you guys are going to vote. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Really? Oh my God, Glenn Beck is at fault. Are you crazy right now?
Am I crazy right now?
From the very beginning though, like think about it. She gets fired for saying that she's pro-choice, which is ridiculous. She's not allowed to, you know, move in a different direction for even half a second without you losing your mind over it, right? So, and then on top of that, here's what the lawsuit's really about. They are refusing to terminate her contract, but they're also refusing to let her go on air. Now, you know me, I'm not a Tommy Lahren fan. I disagree with her about pretty much everything. So it's not like I want her to be on air, but it doesn't matter what I want. She should be on air, right? If they refuse to terminate her contract, they should at least allow her to continue doing what she's doing without taking her off. And the reason why they do that is so she can't go anywhere else until her contract is finished.
Yeah, that's a corporate media move. That's what MSNBC did to Ashley Banfield. They literally moved her office into a closet, wouldn't let her out of her contract, and wouldn't let her on the air. So it's a super cheesy move. So I hear you, and I think I'm going to vote with you. But there is a big but there. So Tommy Lahren before pretty much seemed to indicate that she was pro-life. And then she goes on The View and says all of a sudden she's pro-choice, playing up to that crowd, probably trying to angle for another job. So Glenn Beck's saying, look, whether you believe him or not, he's like, I don't mind if you're pro-choice. I mind if you're a total liar, right? And pretending to be pro-life at one point, pro-choice at another, depending on where you're trying to go. But in essence, I think you're right that the heart of this matter is Glenn Beck being like, bitter man.
Yeah.
Why is everybody talking about Tommy Lauren and not me? I said, what's that? She says she's pro-choice. Fire her right away. Right away. But don't let her go on air because then she'd compete against me. I promise you guys that if I fire any Young Turks hosts, I will immediately let them out of their contracts so I don't have to pay them anymore.
We don't even have contracts. Like, my favorite thing is when I meet with other news organizations, just like for outside projects, and they're like, okay, well, tell us about your contract. And I'm like, anyway, I should stop talking before you make me sign a contract.
Okay, and it will have onerous rules. Okay. Anyways, that's a whole nother thing we should do on a postgame one day.
Okay.
All right. TYTnetwork.com/join. Oh my God, we got to take a break. You're crazy. All right, let's take a quick break. We got more stories when we come back. Go. Hey guys, we're back. Let me read some tweets. Perry Spletz Tozer says, I'll vote for Glenn when Tommy gives Hassan that date he seems to want in his Facebook videos. Joe Roms. Okay. Ryan Zephyr says, in her defense, it is comfy to warm your butt.
Yeah. Dude, I would come out and I'd be like, that's right. That's right. I do need a butt warmer. So, right? Like, people are too scared of being embarrassed. Like, who cares? We all like a warm ass.
By the way, not me.
Well, yeah, not you.
Like, you're not going to be surprised by that.
Yeah.
Those like cars are like, oh, this the heat's
oh,
your.
It.
Oh, I hate it.
I love it. It was like 95 degrees outside, and I'm like, butt warmer.
Yes, you're crazy, dog. That man, I don't need that my ass to be that hot. It's already hot enough. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Anyway, Ben Peck says, oh, did she need her seat warmed up? Was she too cold in the studio? Cold like a snowflake. All right. Russell True says, if Ivanka doesn't want to seem complicit, she should take a page out of Tiffany Trump's book, just disappear into the ether. Fair point. Isley M. Pena Acevedo says, yay, Anna's home, miss ya.
Aww.
No. Historic Larry says, TYT won the popular vote, but not the rigged Webby Electoral College. That's the only Clinton comparison for TYT ever. Okay, our members of the day are Jonathan Hayes and Allison Berg, TYTnetwork.com/join. Now, you get the full show. Normally, you'd get a post game right after this, but today we're not doing a post game. We're doing 2.5 hours more of show. So I'm going to do some Wolfpack stories for you in a little bit, and maybe a Justice Democrat one, and then Jimmy and John are going to come in. We've got more stories from the first hour, the second hour, and talk about reporting as well. So everybody stay right here. We're going all the way to 10:30 p.m. Eastern today, and it's going to be an extravaganza. And by the way, if you're a member, you can get all of it and download it or stream it anytime you want in case you miss any part of it. So that's tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, Anna, what's next?
All right. The CEO of Chobani is suing Alex Jones for a defamatory story he ran that basically connected the CEO to a sexual assault case in Twin Cities. Now, why would Alex Jones go after the CEO of Chobani? Like, dude makes yogurt, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that he has been attacked quite a bit from right wingers because of his wish or desire to hire refugees and give them a better life. Oh my God, he's a bad person.
Oh, he wants to help people.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So he right wing attack right away. Sexual assault. Must be. Yeah. Okay. So in addition to supporting charities that aid refugees and immigration, Ulukaya made it a point early in the company's history to hire refugees and individuals who had been laid off, right? He was even quoted as saying, if a refugee has a job, they're no longer a refugee. So he employed 300 refugees in his company. And again, it made a lot of right wingers like Alex Jones upset. So what do? They do what they do best. They smear him. And that's exactly what happened in this case. Now, the headline that Alex Jones used to defame the CEO was, mainstream media covers for globalists refugee import program after child rape case.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, there's no truth in that whatsoever. The prosecutor who's working on the case that they're referring to, there was a case involving three underage boys who had sexually assaulted a 5-year-old girl. The story literally has absolutely nothing to do with Chobani, has nothing to do with any of the refugees that were hired by Chobani, but doesn't matter. Alex Jones took it upon himself to link those two together in a defamatory way. And of course, that has led to attacks, calls for boycott, things like that. And so, you know, the CEO has no choice but to go after Alex Jones. The lawsuit says the story was also given a different headline: Idaho yogurt maker caught importing migrant rapist.
Jesus, man.
When it was tweeted by InfoWars. Now, Chobani argued that InfoWars published a falsified report about a sexual assault case in Twin Falls, Idaho, where Chobani owns and operates the largest yogurt plant in the world. The lawsuit says the erroneous report linked the CEO to the assault case and accused his company of bringing crime and tuberculosis to the community.
Of course it did.
The fake news stories led to a customer boycott call against Chobani products. So the prosecutor in this case, you know, he spoke out, and I want to tell you what he had to say just to clear things up. The Twin Falls County prosecutor, his name's Grant Lobes, said the case had nothing to do with Chobani and it had nothing to do with rape. There was a sexual assault that happened toward a 5-year-old girl, and it was perpetrated allegedly by 3 underage boys. And I'm talking about 7-year-old, 10-year-old, and 14-year-old, okay? Mm-hmm. No rape occurred, but it doesn't matter. This is what Alex Jones does. And look, it's one thing when it affects someone's business negatively, but think about all the unhinged people who might act on all the crazy accusations that you make in the media.
Yeah. So look, there's a guy today that we did in the story from another right-wing network I never heard of saying you should kill everybody at CNN.
Yeah.
You know, the attacks against us are nonstop, but we're in the media, and if you're not used to it, and all of a sudden somebody accuses you of importing rapists into the country, that is shocking.
And tuberculosis.
And of course, they always have to throw disease in because, you know, immigrants are diseased.
Right.
It's the oldest stereotype bigotry in the book, and then you have to round them up and et cetera, et cetera. So it's got to be both shocking and unnerving because we all, we laugh at tuberculosis to Idaho. What the hell are you talking about? It's like a classic Alex Jones unhinged conspiracy theory. But the guys who listen to Alex Jones, most of them believe it. They don't realize it's unhinged.
But here's the thing.
And they think, oh my God, you're raping little kids in Idaho. And I knew it. It's these dirty immigrants, these diseased immigrants. I have to do something about it.
So I was curious to see what Alex Jones's response to this lawsuit would be, especially considering the fact that he had to apologize for Pizzagate. Remember, he was facing some legal trouble as a result of Pizzagate. And this is a very similar incident, right? And look, I shouldn't even give you advice as an Alex Jones viewer, right? But he's scamming you. And the reason why he's scamming you is because his response to this lawsuit was, hey, I'm gonna make this about my audience and fighting for the right thing. And so please give me money to fight my legal battle, right?
Mm.
First of all, Alex Jones is fine financially. I'm sure he has enough money to fight his legal battle on his own. But nonetheless, he's asking you for money to fight his legal battle while he's simultaneously slanging you lizard pills or whatever the hell he slangs on his show.
Yep.
Like, he's scamming you guys. If you don't want to believe us, or you don't want to watch this show, or you don't care about us, you hate us, that's fine. I respect that, right? But please stop letting him scam you. He wants your money. He wants your money. He is the most despicable guy on the planet, and he keeps scamming you. Please do not give him a single penny for his legal battle. That's ridiculous.
So, why did they go after Hamdi Ulukaya, the CEO? So one, you know, he's helping refugees, so that's unbearable. Two, he's an immigrant himself. He's a Turkish immigrant of Kurdish descent.
Mm-hmm.
Three, that makes him Muslim.
Right.
Okay, oh, they hate everything about this guy. And in fact, they should actually love him. He's an entrepreneur. He created a small business, which he then turned into the largest yogurt distributor there is. He beat all the giants. He's actually number one, clearly living the American dream. Number two, the guy that you would think the conservatives would look up to. That's like their dream. But there's only one thing about him that they don't like. He's an immigrant. He's Muslim, so it doesn't count as the American dream. And he's helping other people. Yuck.
And it doesn't stop at disliking him because of your xenophobic reasons. It goes further. It goes toward doing defamatory coverage of him and, you know, potentially inciting violence toward him.
Yeah.
And it's so incredibly irresponsible. It's just
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, these guys are also such nuts. They found one picture of Ulukaya with George Soros, because George Soros also helps refugees, people who are in need. George Soros helped fight the Nazis, okay, mm-hmm. and the communists, by the way, okay. I mean, his family fled the Nazis and helped fight the communists. Soros. Yogurt, do I need to say more? Yeah, I don't know what that means. What's the connection to yogurt and Soros? They have a picture together. You know that Ulukaya and I once met. Mm-hmm. If they find that picture, oh my God, knew it.
Are you guys the Bilderbergs?
What's the infamous?
Or the Illuminati?
It's the infamous Soros yogurt Chobani connection. He makes yogurt. My last name is Yuger.
It all makes sense now. But don't give him ideas. He's going to link you to something ridiculous, okay? Like, he's
what
crazy.
Hasn't he
he's
done
straight
yet?
Crazy. Okay. Just stop letting him scam you. Please stop giving him your money.
Okay. All right, next story. One last one.
All right. Serena Williams is pregnant, which is super exciting. And her boo, her fiance, is actually Alexis Ohanian, fellow Armenian. Fellow badass, and also co-founder of Reddit. There they are, they're super cute. So they're having a baby together, super exciting news. But that's not the story. The story is how people are reacting to her pregnancy. Case in point, a Romanian former tennis player that apparently has a very bad reputation. His name is Ilie Natasi, for those of you who aren't familiar with him. He said some nasty things about the baby during a press conference. He allegedly said, "Let's see what color it has, chocolate with milk." Okay, so look.
Racists love stuff like that. They always think it's so clever,
chocolate with milk.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, so at first I'm like, okay, that was not a nice statement. But if that's like the first time he said something controversial, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But apparently he has the nickname Nasty because he says a lot of nasty things. The International Tennis Federation has suspended him while it conducts an investigation into his remarks. This comes only days after he was rejected from the Fed Cup match for calling members of the British team bitches.
I'm gonna let that one go. Look, it's these days in sports, you get more attention if you're a bad guy, and it's the same Tommy Lauren effect. Just say outrageous things and you'll get more and more famous. And I think that, I don't follow tennis very closely, but I think there's a couple of guys who are making a living doing this and throwing mm-hmm. rackets and like the old days, right? But now they add in racist comments, etc., to get even more. I think it's a bad long-term strategy, mm-hmm. but it's kind of a little bit of like, look at me, daddy, look at me, right? Trying to draw attention.
I see that a lot with some sports commentators as well. Like mm-hmm. there was this whole kerfuffle recently with a basketball player who refused to answer a ridiculous question by one of the sports reporters about his team and how his team sucks and how his team always suffers when he's not playing. And Alan West is his name. No, not Alan West.
No, that's a former
Stephen A. Smith. I don't know why I said Alan West. Stephen A. Smith was like, you got to answer that question. But if the basketball player said, yeah, my team sucks when I'm not around, they don't know how to pick up the slack, he'd get criticized.
Of course he would.
But if he says, hey, which he did say this, don't tear our team apart, you know, we're a team, we work together. He gets criticized for not answering the question. So look, everyone in the sports world tends to be a dick, right?
But that might be a slight over-exaggeration.
Not everyone, but a lot of people. And all I think is that it's important to at least leave family members out of it. And so in this case, you're talking about what an unborn baby is going to look like because it will be biracial. Mm-hmm. And just don't make any remarks about that. And it's none of your business.
Yeah, I like that you pointed out that Stephen A. Smith was upset about something. Really? That's got to be a first.
I don't like Stephen A. Smith.
I don't believe Stephen A. Smith. He's upset about everything. Yeah. Oh my God, this paper, look at this paper. This paper's all wrong. This one is all right, but I'm still upset. And this pen, it's the worst pen in the world. Okay, I got it, dude. Bring it down, okay? Anyways, final thing on this story is that unfortunately racism is worldwide. This guy's from Romania. So sometimes the right wing here in America will say, oh, you think we're the only ones? No, we don't think that, right? And all the different cultures are racist against other cultures. Not all of that, not all the people within those cultures, but unfortunately a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So he probably thought, one, I'll say it in Romanian so you won't understand. There's other Romanian speakers, dumbass. Two, I'd like attention. And three, Yeah, I mean, that's also, I'm sure, prevalent like in other parts of the world, like Romania. Not to throw the Romanians under the bus, I'm just saying it's all over the world. So they probably thought, haha, very clever. Oh, wow, that's so crazy, a black person having a baby with a white person, that's nuts. Okay. It is incredibly normal. Just calm down.
I don't know. We're currently in 2017, and this kind of stuff is still controversial. I'm not referring to his remarks. I'm referring to the notion of a biracial couple having a biracial baby. Let's move on with our lives. There are other things to talk about and be concerned about, like Stephen A. Smith and how he is really, really rude.
This table, I hate this table. This table's the worst table in the league. What the hell is anybody doing with this table? Stephen A. Smith's job is so easy. I can't believe he's still on the air after all these years.
He's just not entertaining. And you're right. When he's upset or outraged about something, it does come off as super insincere. And the things he gets mad about are ridiculous.
Why is she holding the racket that way? That's outrageous. And she's the worst number one seed ever in my entire life. And with that outfit, it's ridiculous. And that wristband, oh, God. All right, dude, you're such a fake and a fraud. Doesn't every sports fan in the country know that Stephen A. Smith is a fraud and that every one of his outrages is manufactured? Isn't that the most obvious thing in the whole wide world?
Does anyone ever just call him Stephen Smith, or do you have to say Stephen A. Smith?
No, you have to say it. In fact, I'm so outraged that we have to say the A in Stephen A. Smith every time. Why do we have to say it? From now on, I'm just going to call him Stephen Smith, or maybe Steve Smith, or Stevie Smith.
Ooh, Stevie Smith. That's fun.
Or Stevie Schmitty. But I'm really bad. Okay, God, we got to wrap this show up.
Yeah, we do.
All right. So, Slash, we're not at all wrapping it up. We've got another hour, 2.5 hours. So don't go anywhere. When I come back, do we have good news or bad news about Wolfpack? Interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you some of the folks who've been doing hard work on that. And then Jimmy and John and everybody else is coming back in, and nothing but shenanigans going forward. So be a share bear, share the stream, shenanigans coming up, go.